moving towards equitable processes and not just saying, oh, we want to hire a diverse hire, so we hired a diverse hire and now we're done. Because that person's not going to stay. You're not going to have strong retention. You're not going to have a strong culture that makes that person maybe one day be able to go on and raise their own fund. And so I think that that's a huge opportunity to move towards equity and inclusion and not just say you're done when you just have diversity.
Hello, welcome to Dwayne Morris, DEI 360 with Joe West. I'm Yamika Anderson Howard, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager at the firm. Today we have Joanna Kwong, Senior Vice President of Product Development and Impact at Illumin Capital. Joanna shares how her lived experiences as the daughter of Chinese immigrants has driven her career in impact investing to drive systemic change.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe West. I am a partner at Dwayne Morris. I am a member of our management committee, the Partners Board, and I have the privilege of serving as our Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. Very happy to be joined today by Joanna Kwong. Joanna, how are you?
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, Joanna, I was very interested in having this conversation with you, particularly because, as we all know, in the wake of the Supreme Court decision, Students for Fair Admission, there has been kind of an assault on DEI in general, but particularly aimed at a number of financial services and investment vehicles aimed at supporting and engaging in the DEI space. So very, very curious to learn more about Illumin Capital, the entity you're associated with, the work that you guys do, and your own experience with the company and your own background. So let's just start by telling us a little bit about Joanna.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's definitely a timely conversation to be having. So thank you again so much. So I've worked in impact investing my entire career, and a lot of my kind of motivation to work in impact investing is rooted in, one, my lived experience as the daughter of Chinese immigrants, just facing a lot of those racial and gender biases myself, but also I think having a world of opportunity. I grew up in New Jersey, so I saw how many assets and how much money there is in the financial system and what the opportunity is to apply that to impact. And then in college, I was fortunate to be a part of an undergraduate scholarship called the Robertson. And as part of my summer between freshman and sophomore year, I was placed in teaching at a Freedom School in the Mississippi Delta. And I actually just got to go back to the Mississippi Delta about a month ago because I'm now on the board of the Robertson. And kind of be reminded of why I do this work, which is that when I was teaching at the Freedom School, I was in a town that was basically still segregated. And all my students were Black students. Almost all who made it through the program and to college were the first in their families to go to college. And I saw how much a lot of rural communities have very different barriers to access for education than even urban communities. So all the funding we got at the Freedom School was from philanthropy, and most of it was earmarked for academic supplies, when in reality, what our students needed was gas money. We'd go pick them up in the mornings, and then food money. So we would feed them healthy lunches, which were typically ham and cheese sandwiches, because otherwise they wouldn't eat often anything, or maybe would eat a bag of chips. So for me, really saw like the power of capital to drive impact in ways that are community-based, and that kind of motivated me to want to work in impact investing.
So let's give people a basic working definition of the phrase impact investing.
Totally. I know. I got ahead of myself. I got too excited.
No, listen, Joanna, let me tell you something. Having grown up in the Deep South, you're mentioning the Freedom School and the Mississippi Delta resonated with me greatly. So I'm already impressed with you and thankful for all of your commitment. So let's talk about impact investing, and then we'll dig a little deeper in some of these other issues.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, impact investing is driving financial and social capital to drive a greater impact, and an impact in a way that is companies, products, services, organizations that are creating a positive impact with and for people. And I think that that can span a lot of different sectors, but ultimately impact investing is driving those dollars from something that maybe isn't driving a positive impact towards something that is creating a positive impact and scaling those products and services so more people can access that positive impact.
I appreciate that. So let me challenge you a little bit. A lot of, as you know, the discussion out there in the ecosystem post SCOTUS opinions, particularly attacks on ESG, for example, and ESG related investing is, hey, it's fine to do good, but if you're not doing well, then you're not being a good financial steward. How do you counter that argument that it's all just about philanthropy, but it's not about ensuring that there is a return on the investment? What's your counter to that argument?
Yeah, absolutely. So where I sit right now at Illumin Capital, we're a fund of funds and we're striving to not be concessionary. So we want to beat and meet the benchmarks of other fund of funds that are not impact focused. So for us, it's truly about being able to demonstrate financial success and actually having that financial success be tied to products, services, companies that are creating a positive impact. And then for us, what makes us unique is also that belief that reducing racial and gender bias can potentially also be a contributor to financial success. So for us, it's really, we did a paper with a social psychology center at Stanford that showed that Black and white fund managers, Black fund managers face racial bias. So even if they have the same track record, if you just change the photo and change the race of the photo, not even changing name, people are more likely to and more comfortable investing in the white fund manager. And that actually is a bigger discrepancy at higher levels of performance. So when the track record is positive, people have even more of a bias where they're not seeing value. They're basically letting their own biases cloud their judgment. So for us, it's really intertwined as a factor in having being good fiduciaries is being able to value and see diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that being also a core part of impact investing, because we know impact outcomes often are grounded in racial and gender disparities.
I love that. I spent the better part of my career, even before it was fashionable, making people understand the value of DEI. You know, I like to cite people to the study that Citigroup did called The Cost of Racism, that was published in September of 2020, that showed that over the first 20 years of the century, the US lost $16 trillion in GDP because of bias against African-Americans in just four different areas of the economy. Now, let's talk a little bit about Illumin Capital, a company that you're associated with. Tell me in a concise sort of way, a little bit about the company. Tell me what its focus is and tell me how you became associated with it.
Absolutely. So I just shared we're a fund of funds. So we invest in all private market fund managers that have an impact lens. And specifically, our thesis is that reducing racial and gender bias can potentially drive financial outperformance. And so for us, it's both when we're investing, we're obviously looking for diversity. But I think the cornerstone of our strategy is that after we've invested in these funds, they're all funds that are investing in startups. We can coach them and support our fund managers and our portfolio in reducing their own biases so that they can make more equitable, more diverse investment decisions in terms of the founders that they choose to back. So our kind of competitive edge is that we have a bias reduction strategy, curriculum, and toolkit that we created and deploy in order to support all of our portfolio fund managers. And then the reason we're a fund of funds is that instead of just having, say, 10 portfolio companies, we can influence the behavior kind of a level up of the fund managers of how they behave when they make investment decisions in the fund we're in, but also hopefully in the future. So really just trying to change the face of what the investment industry looks like and how those people who are in the investment industry make decisions moving forward so that this is kind of a little bit stickier. And especially with the attacks on DEI, we're focused on changing behaviors, changing processes, changing organizational structures, rather than just kind of, you know, one time trying to support people in hiring diversity and that just being a one-time thing that when it's no longer a fad, when it's no longer trendy, it goes away.
I looked at your website and I noticed two things. First of all, very diverse team, number one. And then number two, You guys all look so young.
You
It's
know, I actually
impressive.
get that a lot. People will say, oh, yeah, you look really young. But I think that, you know, we are committed to changing mindsets. And I think a big part of that work is also changing not just mindsets of general partners, but changing the mindsets and connecting with junior team members as well, in order for, like, in 20 years, the industry to also be different and for this work to be sustained.
Joanna, you talked a little bit about your own background, your own journey. I know that you received a mathematics degree at Duke, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That's
Kudos
right.
to you. Math, I have to thank for me being a lawyer, because I had to pick a profession that had the least amount of math. So kudos to you on that one. But it sounds like an interesting journey. Who goes from a math degree at Duke to working in the Mississippi Delta? To working in impact investing. Tell me what it is that motivates you, that drives you, and that led you on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have always been justice oriented. You know, in high school, I was the head of community service. I was always trying to think about what's the best way to apply my skill set, my background, the opportunities I've been given to create the world that I want to see. And both of my parents are mathematicians in training. My dad has a PhD in math and worked on Wall Street at Citibank. And so for me, I felt like this is an opportunity that I had. And I was really lucky. I look, you know, like you mentioned, I look a certain way. And maybe that is opening doors for me that wouldn't be open for people who don't look like me, or who don't speak the same way, or who don't know how to dress the right part. And obviously that's completely messed up, but I think for me, because I'm mathematically oriented, but wanting to kind of apply that skill set to creating a more just world, I felt like impact investing was a great way to kind of marry my skill set and the opportunities that I've been given with the world that I want to see. And so, yeah, I think my first job was at Wellington Management. It's a huge asset management firm. That part of that was being the kid of immigrants. They were like, go somewhere that has a big name, that's a little bit safer, that, you know, has weathered many financial crises. But I found that for me, public markets investing wasn't where I felt like I could make the biggest influence. So pivoted, worked in social impact bonds, which is a special purpose vehicle designed to drive dollars towards outcomes rather than inputs. And I learned a lot of my chops around impact measurement there, around braiding and blending different types of funding from philanthropy to government to private dollars, all working together. But then now I'm working in private markets in kind of more of that early stage startup, really taking an idea and making it reality. And so for me, I think a lot of the work has been also about exploring the right kind of asset class and the right way to use my skill set to think about where those dollars are going.
What's the most gratifying thing about your work?
I am such a relationship oriented person, even though we just talked about, you know, like me studying math. And I think on paper, being able to think in numbers and whatnot, at the end of the day, like, if you've ever done like Myers-Briggs or something, I'm a two wing three. And so I'm very relational. And I always love seeing those aha moments where I've been able to form a strong relationship and connect with someone, and then maybe call them out or call them into the work, and get them to change their thinking in ways that maybe no one else has even called it out before. And so to them, it's kind of like we say culture is like water, like you don't realize you're swimming in it. So to them, it's completely normal. But then when I'm like, oh, hey, that language seems a little bit gendered, is that what you're going for? It allows us to have a deeper conversation and them to kind of think next time they might be using gendered language. And I always just love seeing those moments of like humanity and seeing that those mindsets are changing. And then that will change the experience for example, all the women in their portfolio or all the women who work at that firm.
You're doing great things, but I think you might have missed your calling, Joanna. I sense a little trial lawyer in you waiting to get out. That's what I'm hearing.
I did explore law, but it was too much writing.
So listen, I kind of want to talk in the couple of minutes we have left about what you see as some of the challenges for the space you're in for impact investing. I mean, we live in such extraordinarily interesting times. The political ecosystem is what it is, right? There's uncertainty in the financial ecosystem as well. What do you see as some of the challenges? I mean, we've already talked about the SCOTUS opinion and sort of like the fallout from that. But the fantastic work you're doing, the fantastic work your company is engaged in, is admirable. But I'm wondering what the headwinds might be for you and how you anticipate addressing them.
Absolutely. I think the first is that people feel like they've done the work. So we made these DEI commitments and we're done. We're sunsetting that. And I think another layer of that is that there's not a strong evidence base of which types of DEI strategies or initiatives are ultimately the most effective. And so I think we need to be better about building that evidence base using data and accountability. I think that's another kind of opportunity for growth for the field is having stronger accountability, having more alignment on even what data are we collecting and looking at year over year, and moving away from seeing data and reporting as just something we have to do for our LPs and more actually being able to use that data to drive a feedback loop of how should we actually be changing our behaviors. And then I think there's a huge opportunity to move beyond diversity of just, what do people look like in terms of race and gender, and move towards equity and inclusion because there's so much more around culture than just what somebody looks like. I went to a boarding school and a lot of my classmates of color went through the prep for prep program. And that's something that from eighth grade on is kind of teaching you to basically behave in a certain, I'm doing air quotes, a certain way that is like fitting for a prep school community, which is obviously shows that there's an unspoken set of norms that you kind of have to learn to be able to fit in. And I think that that is very pervasive in the financial industry. I think it's pervasive in a lot of big institutions that drive a lot of our policy decisions, our financial decisions. And so moving towards equitable processes and not just saying, oh, we want to hire a diverse hire, so we hired a diverse hire, now we're done. Because that person's not going to stay. You're not going to have strong retention. You're not going to have a strong culture that makes that person maybe one day be able to go on and raise their own fund. And so I think that that's a huge opportunity to move towards equity and inclusion and not just say you're done when you just have diversity.
Very well said. We talk a lot about, and I'm using we in the collective now, about addressing issues of DEI in a lot of different areas. The fact that you, Lumen Capital, and of course, your own journey, your own commitment to eliminating bias and addressing the need for equity in the investing space, the work that you're doing. Congratulations. Kudos. And thank you for having this conversation with me, Joanne. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.